Hello, everyone. My name is Luke John Louis, the host of the Deep Voice Man Show. Thank you for joining us today. We're in for a treat. We have our guest, Anthony Church. He's a friend of mine. I've known him for quite some time now. We actually went to business school together at Baruch. And he is a digital marketing consultant and a digital marketing instructor at Mount St. Mary College and SUNY New Pulse. And he's been working in the realm of marketing, particularly digital marketing, for over 22 years. So he has a lot of experience. He's someone who has founded and created and built several digital marketing agencies over the last two decades. Right now, he's very focused on consulting and education, but he soon plans on rolling out some online courses, which him and I are very excited about, and maybe he can share more in the interview about that. So I'm very thankful to have you on here as a guest, Anthony. It truly is an honor, and I guess to start off, I'm truly blessed because you're a busy man and you were able to carve out some time in your packed schedule to sit down and have a chat with me. I guess to start off, can you talk to us about your background and how you first gravitated towards doing what you do today?
Sure, yeah. And thank you for inviting me to the podcast. I've been looking forward to it since the invite, so glad to be on here and sharing a little bit about me and my experience with all your listeners. So a little bit about my background and how I ended up doing what I'm doing now. I grew up in the 90s, was when the internet was first starting to become a common household thing. And I remember going to some of my friends' house. They were some of the earliest adopters of the internet, and they had this awesome thing called a browser, and you could go to websites. And to me, that was the most magical thing in the world. It was an endless world of possibilities. So I'd bring all my websites. Eating a box of Fruit Loops, I remember, and saw that they had a website. I was like, this is amazing. I'm going to go bring this over to Paul's house and tell him to take me to FruitLoops.com or whatever their domain name was. So I was always fascinated by the internet and the possibilities that I saw with it. And that's kind of where my interest started. And then I acquired my first computer shortly thereafter, and not long thereafter ended up getting connected to the internet. So anybody that was around at that time and an active user of the internet knows it was a little bit of the wild, wild west. Somehow I ended up learning about web design that was possible for me to do that. And I started teaching it to myself, and I began building websites in early high school. And what that led to was a couple of decades of entrepreneurialism where I started different businesses, a handful of them in my teens and early 20s, and all of them had an online component. So I built the websites for them. I learned the marketing for them. And I learned a lot during those early formative years throughout that process. So that's how I ended up in the industry that I'm in. Naturally, somebody that's that interested in and is so strongly pulled to that, the next thing I do is I started a digital marketing agency. Here I am.
Wow, that's amazing. And thank you so much for sharing your story. It's interesting how you grew up in the 90s. So did I. And the internet was this new thing that came onto the scene. You know, it was dial up. You know, the young kids now probably don't know what we had to go through, right? With the original, you know, how big computers were and the modems and floppy disks and all that. And totally different now. And but you caught on to it while it was new when you were young, and it blew you away like it did all of us. You know, you saw this thing called a browser and you wanted to check out websites. And from there, you sort of got hooked and you wanted to know more about the internet. And, you know, and then, you know, you got into web design and whatnot, and you realized all the possibilities and you wanted to start a business. You're interested in doing a business focused around the internet, which I find very interesting. And, you know, so you started a digital marketing agency and whatnot, and here you are. So, again, thank you for sharing your story. Now, obviously, a lot of things have changed with technology and the internet, right, since those early days in the 90s. And I'm curious, how would you describe the current state business affairs, particularly when it comes to digital marketing?
Well, yeah, a lot has changed since then. When I was started, I remember opening up an e-commerce shop, but I think it was the late 90s, and this was before there were really any real significant e-commerce technologies out there to build them on. So things have changed quite a bit relative to how things are today. So today, business is in the state of digital marketing. Most businesses at this point have dabbled in doing some digital marketing. That wasn't the case until five or so years ago, where you still would come across working with businesses that had just never done it before. Now, almost everybody that you work with, they've all done digital marketing, and they've been through digital marketing service providers before, and they kind of have an idea of the lay of the land and what to expect. So, but right now, things are in a big state of flux and a big state of change in the world of digital marketing, primarily because a lot of new technologies are coming out and how we process data, how we store data, what we can do with data. And in addition to that, new technologies related to how we run digital marketing. So, for example, there's AI is becoming more and more of a significant discussion point in digital marketing, where you have artificial intelligence that's doing everything from not only running the entire search landscape, but also now it can develop written content that sounds like it was written by a human being. So between some of the report automation functions that can interpret data and do different things with data, and between the emergence of what people are calling Web3, which has a lot to do with digital ownership and things like that, things are kind of in a state of flux. But with that said, I think that all the fundamentals that have always been there are still there and are still true. It's just fun, at least for me, and interesting to see how that things are kind of have entered into this state of change in the last couple of years.
Yeah, there has been quite a lot of change, and technology has been advancing at such a rapid pace. You know, every couple of months there's a new phone, there's a new iPhone. You talked about AI, there's Web3 and whatnot and whatnot. And I'm just curious now, what changes or what challenges did the pandemic pose, if any? Did it help or did it hurt?
Well, it hurt a lot of businesses. It helped them understand the importance of digital marketing. A lot of businesses were forced very quickly to have to make changes and to adapt their business to accommodate people who wanted to or needed to really to transact online. And that's not your traditional businesses that are doing e-commerce, but even your small local mom and pop shops. Like, I know of a hardware store that started taking online orders. I know of a pool supplies company that started taking online orders and doing doorstep deliveries and things like that. And then many businesses turned to social media and relied on it more heavily during the pandemic to be able to communicate with their audience and their customers through that. And that was a big change for people in understanding that. I think what it really did, aside from all of the obvious things, was it created a new appreciation for digital marketing from smaller businesses around the country. And those who had already adopted it were well poised to leverage it and probably fared better than those that still had to kind of scramble to catch up to it. But, you know, those are some of the challenges that businesses faced as a result of the pandemic. They had to adapt quickly. I think for the most part, people did a good job with that. And I think when they came out on the other side of it all, they had a new appreciation for digital marketing as something that was valuable for them.
Right. And, you know, obviously the pandemic probably sped along the trend that was already happening before. And you mentioned before that most businesses at this point have dabbled in digital marketing. Almost every business has a website now, right? And I would say 99% of them. And so obviously it's the internet, it's not going anywhere, right? And and obviously you're there to help business owners and entrepreneurs and whatnot to get on board and to properly harness the power of the internet for their business and whatnot. I'm curious now, where do you see things going in the future? And, you know, when it comes to the, you know, state of entrepreneurship and digital marketing, and where do you see yourself in that future?
Yeah, I see when I look into the future of digital marketing, I see a lot more automation is the main thing that I'm starting to see through machine learning and AI and things like this. And it's interesting to see the way that those are being integrated into new technologies that businesses are leveraging and using. The other interesting thing that can't be ignored is the emergence of Web3, which we talked about a little bit earlier. And that's an interesting area that I've been spending a decent amount of time in over the last year or so, and working with some Web3 companies as well to help bridge the gap between Web3 technologies and what people are referring to as Web2 marketing. So those are interesting areas to look out for. The other thing that's interesting to me in the future, looking into the future, is that I work with colleges on this. A lot more colleges are understanding the importance of offering digital marketing programs, whether it be a certificate program or a degree program. Still very far behind in that area, still a long way to go. And I think digital marketing is still underappreciated by far too many colleges given its relevance today. But I'm seeing more and more colleges come on board offering digital marketing programs, digital marketing degrees and certificates and so on. So that's an area that I'm fascinated by, one, because I teach digital marketing for colleges, and also because I've been championing that for the last 4 or 5 years, trying to get different colleges on board to develop those types of programs, or at least classes, offering more classes in the area of digital marketing. And I was honored to be able to teach the first ever social media marketing class for Mount St. Mary College, which I developed and taught for the first time there. But I see more of that happening in the future, and I think education and digital marketing is going to become more and more important piece of that industry.
Excellent. And it's interesting how you talked about colleges are offering digital marketing courses, and you mentioned that you also were teaching social media. And it's amazing to me, when I was going to college, I always thought to myself, you know, why am I taking this class? You know, what will I ever use this? But now it seems like colleges, maybe, you know, it's been a long time since I've been in college, but maybe the higher education and whatnot, they're, you know, actually finally teaching students something that they can actually use in the real world, you know, particularly something like digital marketing and social media, so important, obviously. And, you know, it's interesting, you know, you talk about education, but obviously technology keeps advancing and advancing, and you always have to keep learning because it's always changing, right? So, you know, you could graduate in computer science in the year 2008, but, you know, what you learned in class, you know, to get that degree, you know, is it even remotely relevant now? Or there's so much new things that have come out since then. So it's something that you have to continuously learn and stay on top of, right? Particularly with how technology is advancing with AI and Web3 and whatnot. And obviously you're someone who continues to read, who continues to learn. And you know, you always have to be a student, a forever student. And it's interesting how that you teach folks, but you also are learning on the other end, right? And that's just so amazing. Yeah.
I think that, you know, for many degrees, it's the case that continuing education is going to be required. Digital marketing industry changes quickly, as everybody knows, as so does technology advance very quickly. But for anybody listening, I don't want to scare anybody off from pursuing it because it's an industry that changes so quickly. While the tactics change and some of the technology changes that's used, what I found is that the fundamentals and the general principles are always there. So whether or not you're running an ad on the latest ad platform like TikTok, for example, or you're running a Google ad campaign, an ad platform that's been around for over 15 years now, the general principles and fundamentals of running those types of ad campaigns are the same. There's even a lot of parallels to the traditional advertising industry in terms of CPM, cost per thousand impressions, and just the way you evaluate these campaigns and the success of them, and the way you look at metrics, and the way you test different ads against one another. So the fundamentals and the foundation of it, I think, is the same. And when I do teach, I try to focus a lot on those fundamentals and less on things that I know are going to change quickly, like the latest ad format, for example, that you can run an ad in on YouTube or whatever it may be.
Right, absolutely. And it's interesting how things can change. Like, MySpace is no longer a thing, right? But the fundamentals and principles, are still grounded in are still, still what they are, and they don't really change. So as long as you understand those fundamentals and principles, what you're saying is that even if things and technology advances and changes, you're still on solid ground. So that's definitely, thank you for that clarification. Definitely something important to note. Now,
Yep.
it's curious, you got it, that a lot of businesses will bring on folks like yourself to help them with their digital marketing. And, but, a lot of business owners, they may think of themselves as, do-it-yourselfers. And they may think, well, why do I need to hire some digital marketing agency or consultant to help me? Why can't I just do this on my own, learn how to do, Google Ads on my own, or handle my own social media and, save money and whatnot, and just, why do I need to pay, have that extra expense for something, or for someone to help me with in those areas? Well, what would you say to someone like that?
I would say try it. I think that if you're a business owner, it makes sense to have at least a foundational understanding of the different areas of your business. Now, I know it may depend on what stage your business is in, how advanced your business is, how large your business is. So my advice might differ. I'm speaking a little bit generally here, but try it. When you have conversations with your CPA, you have more meaningful conversations, and you can have a better grasp of the financial picture and the solvency of your company, for example. If you have even just a basic fundamental understanding of some of the general principles of accounting. So I think all business owners should have an understanding of digital marketing, and I encourage that. And when I do launch my online courses coming up shortly, I'm going to be focusing mostly on educating business owners on this, because too many business owners end up getting burned by digital marketing agencies that grow complacent, that promise crazy results and don't deliver on it, and so on. So I think having an understanding will create better conversations. It will help business owners make better decisions in those areas. And I think that it's a good idea to learn the basic principles. I also know from experience, a lot of experience in hearing this, that most business owners that try running their own digital ad campaigns waste a lot of money. But I guess it depends how you want to look at it. If you could look at it as you wasted money because you didn't get the results that you wanted, or you can look at it as you paid and you got an education, and if you keep going, you'll eventually reach a spot where you can become proficient at that if you feel that's the best use of your time and your company. I think for most business owners, it's not. It's better to leave it to specialists. People specialize in things for a reason. There are a lot of nuances to digital marketing, but certainly I support business owners getting a foundational education and understanding of digital marketing. And that's why the first course I'm offering is an intro to digital marketing course. But I say try it. You probably will waste money. You probably will waste time in terms of what you'll generate as a financial return on investment, but you'll get a good education in the process in doing that. I can't think of a single business owner that's come to me over the last 22 plus years and said, I tried this myself and I did a great job. It's always, I tried it and I lost a lot of money, or I wasted money. And I'm mainly referring to running ads on Google's ad platform and Facebook's ad platform. They make it very easy to set up your ad campaigns and spend money, but it's very challenging, or it can be very challenging, especially if you don't have a lot of experience, to make that work or to even understand if it's working or not. So I guess that would be my advice.
Wow, and thank you so much. That was an incredible answer, and it's interesting. You talked a lot about how, entrepreneurs can try it if they want to do it themselves, and see what it's like, see how it's like, and whatnot. As you know, sometimes the best way for people to learn is to go about doing something and then, going through that experience and then learning, as they say, the hard way, right? And, perhaps understanding that they need expert advice or they need to hire an expert to handle certain things. When you're a business owner, you're usually very good at that one thing that the business is focused around. Let's say you're a hairstylist who owns a beauty salon, but you may not be good at, the accounting part of it or the payroll or doing the taxes or the marketing and whatnot. So you have to, when you wear too many hats, it weighs you down, right? So it's good to hire folks, delegate tasks, and focus solely on what you're good at. And that's why there's a place, obviously, for people like yourself. And it's interesting, you talked a lot about how you've never met a business owner who's done it on their own and really succeeded. And so there, I guess there is something to that, having people help you out and whatnot. I'm curious now, obviously there are so many digital marketing agencies out there. There's so many people out there that can help you with Google Ads, help you with Facebook ads, and help you with SEO and all the other facets of digital marketing. I'm curious, what competitive advantage do you have as a digital marketing consultant? I mean, what makes you stand out? What makes you better than maybe some of the rest?
For first thing, I would say that is that I'm not the best, and I don't really think. I think if you understand digital marketing, you'll always conclude that you're not the best because there's always so much more to learn. And while you may be great and proficient, understanding that there's limitless amounts of information you can learn on these topics related to digital marketing, and having the opportunity to implement that information and develop experience. I mean, you can go endlessly in the direction of information and experience. So, I like to stay humble and understand that there's always more to learn. Problem with my industry is that, and I guess you could consider it a problem. For me, it was a blessing because it helped me break in. But the barrier to entry in digital marketing is so low. Anybody with a laptop can throw a website up and say they do digital marketing. And I've been battling with that for my entire career. It's very difficult for the average business owner to know the difference between somebody that just started a year ago and has a nice website and somebody that has been doing it for a long time, has run different types of campaigns, has learned what works and what doesn't, has worked with many different types of companies and many industries and so on and so on and so on. How does the average business owner know the difference? It's very difficult, especially if you don't know that you should be looking for that. And I think that's why a lot of people have had really bad experiences working with people in my industry. A lot of the businesses that have come to me over the years, they've been burned and they're jaded. And I think, if you're a business owner and you're listening to this and you've worked with a digital marketing agency, the chances are you can relate, sadly. So that's one of the downsides of the industry is the barriers to entry are so low. So what do you do about that? Well, there's different things that you can look at to determine what level of experience the person has, what success rates they've had. And then I'll get into a more direct answer to the question about how I set myself apart. But you can look at things like client lists. You can look at case studies. The case studies are kind of like testimonials in that you're only ever going to see the good ones. You can look at industry connections. You can ask the right questions. And that's something that I help a lot of business owners with is determining how to vet an agency. How do you determine if this agency is one that you should work with or if they're just smoke and mirrors or what the case may be. But you can ask, knowing what questions to ask in terms of how do they stay up to date on relevant industry news and these types of things? So that's how I try to differentiate myself in those ways. I try to differentiate myself because it's difficult, because the average business owner doesn't know. So in my messaging, I'm very deliberate about the amount of experience that I have. I'm very deliberate about the fact that I have not only done digital marketing, I've built digital marketing agencies. And I've consulted with companies on digital marketing, and I teach digital marketing at universities. So those are some of the ways that I try to position myself. The other thing that is important to me is getting industry certifications. So there's not really an official certification for SEO, but there are Google certifications that you can get for Google's ad platform. Facebook has a certification program called the Blueprint Program, and you can get certified through Facebook, HubSpot, and a lot of different companies that are heavy hitters in the industry and well-known names offer certification programs. So for me, because of the challenge in the industry and because it's difficult for a business owner to understand the difference, I make sure to set myself apart, to differentiate and position myself as somebody that has experience through colleges and universities, has experience through building agencies, has experience through getting certifications, and has experience just through networking in the industry, and you can see who I'm connected to.
Wow, that was amazing advice. And thank you so much for sharing that. And I think that'll help a lot of business owners, and it'll save a lot of them from losing money and whatnot. That it helps them to do their research, to know which questions that they should field to a potential digital marketing agency or consultant. And, you know, that I think it's so important to do your homework and to probe and not just go with the first person or first thing you see and whatnot. And, you know, I'm curious. Now, obviously, you talked a lot about you didn't actually consider yourself the best. You have that humble attitude and that you consider yourself forever a student. You're always constantly learning. There's always more to learn. And you also mentioned the low barrier to entry to being a digital marketing consultant or starting a digital marketing agency. Anyone with a laptop can throw up a website and do it. But, you know, and that's what you said you've been battling with. But the way, in terms of how you stand out in comparison to those folks, is you are someone who's gone to school to learn a lot about this. You've gotten certifications. You're someone who teaches people about this in schools, and you have the experience. And you have the industry connections and whatnot, and you have them in your network. And those are things that a business owner should look at, should look for in terms of finding the right person so they have a great experience with digital marketing as opposed to a negative one. And I'm curious now, while we're on the topic of business owners, what are the most common mistakes or pitfalls you see business owners make when it comes to digital marketing, and how can they avoid them?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think it goes back to what I was mentioning previously, which is the thing that I see over and over with business owners is they're hiring the wrong people to do this. And I think that's now that most business owners, most companies, they've had an experience with a digital marketing service provider or a digital marketing agency. And if you've had an experience with one, chances are probably more likely that it was a bad experience than a good experience, and for some of the reasons that I mentioned earlier. So I think the most common pitfall that I see is just working with the wrong people and not understanding how to vet them and what types of things you should really be looking for, because marketing is a big investment for a lot of companies, and it all marketing contains risk. You can always do marketing and you don't know how it's going to turn out sometimes. That's just marketing. But there's an extra risk that you don't need to take on if you can properly vet your agency. So I see companies working with agencies that either they're not competent to begin with, they don't have the skills that they need, they never had the skills that were going to be required in order to get the job done, or they have the skills, but they're working with an account manager at the agency, and that account manager is wearing too many hats. They're managing too many clients, and you're not getting the attention that you really need to, or deserve. Not only you're not getting the attention, but your marketing's not getting the attention that it needs to be successful. I see agencies becoming very complacent, and they're mainly focused on bringing on new clients. Everything's great. If you've worked with an agency before, you know it. Everything's great for the first 3 to 6 months. And then you start wondering, you start questioning things. I see this all the time. So I think that the agency's become complacent. I've seen this many, many times. And I've heard many business owners complain about this. They become complacent and they kind of take the customer for granted, and they show up, they pop their head up every now and then to deliver a report. The report always looks good, but it really doesn't answer any questions about what did I get? What am I getting in return for this? Like, how are you showing me the value that you're providing? I can see what you've done. I can see the metrics. I understand what you're telling me. But a lot of business owners, when they're going through that process with their agency, they may not even know the questions to ask. And so they just kind of start developing this feeling that this just doesn't feel right. So for me, that's the biggest thing that I see. And then the second biggest thing I see would probably just be, the second biggest pitfall would be business owners that did it themselves, which, you know, as we mentioned before, I totally support that. But they stopped too early before they could be successful. Or they went into it not realizing exactly what it takes. And they weren't successful, so they just wrote the whole thing off, say this stuff doesn't work. We know it works because we look at how much ad revenue is being generated by Google and Facebook. People wouldn't keep paying that if there was nothing to get there. So, and I personally know it works because I've made it work for many clients. But I think those are the two biggest pitfalls, wrong agency and going into it yourself, not understanding the undertaking that you're taking on and what it requires to actually make it successful.
Thank you so much for that excellent answer. And, you know, it goes back to, obviously, if you're going to hire a firm or a consultant, you have to vet correctly. It is a risk. All things are kind of a risk when you make investments in marketing. And marketing is a huge investment for a lot of firms. You know, I hear about agencies with clients who pay them $1,000 or $1,500 a month, and that's a lot of money. And I'm hoping they get a big return on their investment. And but you talked a lot about how sometimes agencies fail clients, and you know, a lot of agencies are complacent and they take the clients for granted. And, you know, they give them a report, but they don't really properly explain the metrics or how they're specifically helping, and clients don't know the right questions to give, or the right inquiries to make, and so but they have a gut feeling that maybe the investment isn't worth it with these complacent firms. But I'm glad that there are folks like yourself, right? Yeah, and that that are trying to clean things up, and that, you know, I can feel the passion that you have in your heart and the integrity that you have, that you're not out there to fleece a business owner or take them for granted, but you really do want to help business owners and you really want to help them succeed. And it does work, digital marketing, when you know what you're doing, right? Or when you hire someone who knows what they're doing. Obviously, these firms like, you know, Google, my understanding is it's a trillion-dollar firm, if I'm not mistaken, or they've gotten to $1 trillion in capitalization. So obviously, there is something to Google Ads if this company is doing that well.
Yeah, exactly.
So I guess, right.
I'm a lifelong business owner. I've been building businesses since my teenage years. So I can't tell you how many times I've inherited a campaign from another service provider. And I look at the campaign and I do an initial audit, and there's nothing even set up tracking conversions. So these are lead generation campaigns intended to drive leads. And there's no conversion tracking set up to determine how many leads that they actually generated for the amount of ad spend that they spent. And that blows my mind. I mean, as a business owner, that blows my mind. I mean, my passion is digital marketing, but I'm a business-oriented, business-minded person. I have an MBA. I've built businesses. So for me, that's the most fun part of digital marketing, is what can we make happen? How can we do something great with this? And how do we measure the results and the impact that we're getting with it? That's the whole purpose. That's the most exciting part. So anyway, it just blows my mind when I go into a digital marketing campaign and I see that nobody was even tracking the most exciting part of digital marketing.
Wow, that's amazing. And it's interesting how you sort of have to clean up the mess of the other guys, so to speak. I'm hoping that obviously business owners realize that, you know, they don't become too jaded, and they understand there are people out there that are serious, that are well educated in the realm of digital marketing, who know how to measure measure those metrics and get results. and conversions and whatnot. I'm curious now, obviously, when you have a digital agency, and you are a digital marketing consultant, getting clients could be tough, particularly in the beginning. One of the best ways to get clients for, you know, any business that you may have, for any entrepreneur, I think we all know what the number one best way to get clients, and that's through networking and getting referrals and whatnot. And obviously, we know each other from school because we went to business school together. I think we had a marketing class that we shared and a couple of classes that we were both in. And and we've kept in touch, right? We've stayed. I think you were the first one who told me about LinkedIn, how important it is. And I got my LinkedIn profile, and we've been connected on LinkedIn, I think also on Facebook. And I'm just curious. We all want to get to that point where we have a network that feeds us referrals day in and day out. There are some salespeople out there that solely rely on referrals, and they don't have to spend too much on marketing or do much cold calling or whatnot. I'm curious, what networking advice do you have for folks so they can get to that point where they're swimming in referrals?
Yeah. When I started, I was very young. I had no business network. At the time, I had very little business acumen, and I had very little resources, and I built everything through networking. So definitely a big proponent of networking. My advice about networking would be to do it often, do it selflessly, and continue the networking online. When you do real-world offline networking, you go to networking events, if you don't stay in touch with or in front of the people that you networked with, then you're really cutting short the value that you can get out of what you're doing there and the amount of time that you're spending. Networking takes a long time. And I think I said do it selflessly, and by that I mean do it without any expectation. Do it because you care about people and you care about business. And just wait. It's like planting seeds. And for me, it took a long time to really see the fruition of it, but I've built all my businesses off of networking and been successful for networking. And every ounce of success that I have, aside from my sheer effort on my end, is all I would attribute most of it to networking. It's particularly important in B2B, where relationships are so important. I know we're talking about digital marketing, but in B2B, digital marketing, for most companies, for most small businesses, digital marketing is not going to be your primary lead generator. Referrals and networking are going to often be your primary lead generator, especially in the earliest parts of your business. So I think that making sure that you're networking regularly, I put networking in the same category as like exercise. It's just something you do for your health. It's good for you. And this goes for those who are not great extroverted networkers too. Those who are introverted and derive their energies from their internal world can be really worn out and put off by networking. It's still good for your health, and you should still do it. And so I think that doing it regularly, thinking of it like exercise, is good for you. It's good for your mind. It's good for your psychology and your mental health, and it's good for business. And then continuing that networking online is extremely important, because almost none of the people that have reached out to me over the last year would have done so if they hadn't continued seeing me on social media after the networking. Some of the people I haven't spoken to in 15 years, and then all of a sudden they reach out to me. And you know, that's the value of networking. Those are my recommendations, and you definitely would be remiss if you were not following almost all of your networking up with continuing that networking by leveraging social media, adding your contacts on every social platform that you're on, if they're on it, or whatever their preferred social platform is. And I think that's a good way to build success, especially in their earlier parts of business.
Thank you so much for that excellent answer when it comes to networking. I loved it. I was taking notes as you were writing, and you know, there was a lot of great nuggets there. You talked a lot about the importance of social media as being a great way to kind of stay top of mind and stay in touch with your network, particularly if you have a large network, and how people have reached out to you because they've seen you on social media, who you haven't really spoken with in years. And you talked a lot about how networking is beneficial for people who work in the B2B world, as opposed to paying for Google Ads and Facebook Ads. And I couldn't agree more. And you talked a lot about how you have to do networking often. It has to be kind of like a lifestyle. You can, in reality, you can network anywhere and everywhere, you know, wherever you are. And you have to do it selflessly, right. And it's one of those things where you have to wait. It's not going to bear fruit right away, but you have to sort of be patient. And you talked a lot about how it's like exercise, where it's good for our health. And that's so true, because as human beings, even introverts, right, we're all social animals. We have to all be around each other. And they found that the longest living people in the world have a social life that's very active and that's very abundant. So there is a lot of truth to that, absolutely, without a doubt. And so I'm curious now, when it comes to business in general, there's a high failure rate, right? And a high percentage of new businesses fail after a couple of years. And I'm curious, why do you think that is? And what could be done to turn that around?
Most businesses fail because they run out of money. That's the number one reason businesses fail. So I think that comes down to understanding and doing a little bit of financial modeling. I think when most people get into business for themselves and they're starting a small business, they do it because they love what they do. And they're great at what they do. They may not be great at running a business, and business may not be their strong point. So I know from my own enterprises and also just from studying this that a little bit of financial modeling early on can go a long way. So I would recommend, if you haven't, either working with an organization that can assist with this. I know in New York State, there's a New York State Small Business Development Center, and what they will do is they'll meet with you and they'll do feasibility studies with you, and they'll do research for you, either market research or competitor research, all subsidized from what I understand by New York State tax dollars. So you can reach out to them and meet with them, and they'll consult with you at no cost to you and help you with these types of things if it's not your strong point. And for most business owners, it's not their strong point. The strong point is whatever their services is going to be there that they're providing, or their passion, maybe whatever product it is that they're selling. And so like figuring out what your break-even point is on a spreadsheet or doing pro forma statements is really not something that they're going to be able to do. But in my opinion, not doing so can really set you up for failure. And you have to know how well you have to be doing at what points based on the amount of revenue that you're generating and so on, and based on what your financial needs are. So I think that goes a long way. I've used that and it's been very helpful for me. The other thing is, when you're a business owner, there's so many things to get distracted by. You want to do everything. You want to get your hands in everything. This is for certain types of business owners. And there's nobody there telling you, nope, focus on this. You're focused on the wrong thing. You have to have the discipline to determine what it is you should be focusing on. And entrepreneurs in general are creative people. And they have a high need for learning and a high desire to learn. And it's easy to get distracted. I think a lot of entrepreneurs that probably resonates with a lot of entrepreneurs. So my recommendation would be, for me, been very successful scheduling periodic meetings with myself that I calendarize. So those could be weekly meetings, perhaps out of before your work week starts. It could be daily meetings. And when I say meetings, I just mean like taking some time out to yourself to focus on one thing specifically, and that is, what are your highest priorities? What's going to move the ball the furthest for you? And then for some people, that's all it takes. And for other people, they struggle with it, and they have to keep bringing themselves back to what's the most important thing, what's the most important thing. For me, my challenge is technology. New piece of technology, I'm interested, and I want to spend time getting into that. But so I think staying focused on the right things and repeatedly checking in with yourself on what those things are some of the most important things, and not letting other things suck your time away. And then focusing on your specialties, which is kind of related. Don't let yourself get spread too thin. most, a lot of business owners die a death of a thousand cuts. They try to do too many things and they become overwhelmed by everything. And they don't focus on the things that are really going to drive the revenue to keep the business going.
Wow. And thank you. And that was an amazing answer. And you mentioned quite a few things that I sort of wanted to summarize. You talked a lot about how the number one reason why a lot of businesses fail is lack of money. And a lot of businesses don't they don't do that financial modeling, right? And which is so important. And you talked about how there are resources available for business owners if they just would go out and avail themselves of it. You know, that's essentially that's out there provided to them by the government, by the state, or by the local government, and even federal, I suppose. And you know, you talked a lot about distractions, how a lot of business owners have they have that shiny object syndrome, right? They need to understand, they need to put the blinders on, they need to stay focused, they have to have that discipline. You talked a lot about how you have meetings. My understanding is with meetings with yourself to figure out what you need to do, what's top priority. And you talked a lot about how, you know, people should focus on their specialty and not wear too many hats. And, you know, there's a book by, I think, Keller, Gary Keller, called The One Thing, where the key to success is, you've heard of it or read, I'm sure, that if you focus on that one thing, it's going to help a lot. And there's another book called The E-Myth, which I'm sure you're familiar with, by Michael Gerber, that talks a lot about how, you know, the key is you want to work harder on your business instead of in your business, right? You want to work harder on it instead of in. And so, you know, that meaning you don't want to, you know, if there's something you're not good at, try to see if someone else can do it and try to delegate tasks or whatnot. And so there's a lot of resources for entrepreneurs. And hopefully, you know, that these stats over time turn around, because I think it's good for a capitalist society more businesses succeeded instead of failed, right? Obviously, I think we want success rates for businesses, not a high failure rate. So now I'm very curious, now we're on the topic of business, what type of businesses do you service for the most part? And, you know, and what do I have to hear from someone in order for me to refer them to you?
Right now, I'm mainly focused on helping people who are interested in getting an education in digital marketing, who really want to understand the fundamentals or even go deep in a particular area and learn about it from somebody that's been there and done it. So that's where my focus is going to be on going forward. In the future, I'm willing to work with anybody that needs either consulting, and consulting could be anything from, you know, how do I train my internal staff to run my digital marketing, to how do I hire a digital marketing agency, to if you are a digital marketing agency, how do you scale, how do you put together training programs, onboarding programs for new employees and new hires, how do you put together internship programs, how do you train up your staff and so on, or it could even be, how do you interview for a new position you're hiring for in the marketing department? So, you know, consulting touches many different areas, and I'm interested in that, in doing primarily that in education, though I am and will be building out to a greater degree the services division as well, in offering traditional digital marketing services for businesses that want somebody else to handle it and want somebody that they trust, somebody that cares more about business and more about people than they do about getting rich and making money. So that's it for me.
Wow. And thank you so much for that clarification. So right now your focus is on education. I guess in this case, it's not so much B2B, but B2C, you know, helping, you know, folks, or I guess you can still call it B2B, helping folks understand digital marketing and teaching that to individuals. And you talked a lot about doing consulting that goes beyond the realm of digital marketing, that can consulting that touches on a lot of different areas for businesses, which is amazing. So my hat is off to you, sir, because I think your heart is in the right place. And so you are now this is I'm supposed to give you this question later, but I'm curious, do you ever you talk about online courses, but do you think about perhaps writing a book and on digital marketing or anything else?
I have thought a lot over the last 2 years about writing a book, and I know that once I get down to it, it will develop almost effortlessly. The challenge for me is that I haven't decided what angle I want to take or what topics I really want to write about. Writing a how-to book to me is not that exciting, but so I just have to figure out what angle I would want to take on a project like that. And so I know you're a published author. If you have any ideas for me that we can discuss later on, definitely be open to that. But I'm going to do it because I love writing, and it's been something that's been on my mind and on my agenda for a while. I'm just waiting until it feels like the right time rather than trying to force it, and then I know that it will flow effortlessly for me. I love writing and I love digital marketing, so it just makes sense.
Wonderful, and absolutely. And when you do produce that book, let me know. I'll be the first person online to buy it. Yeah, just so you know, so you have at least one customer, just so you
All right,
know.
off to a good.
I tell people all the time that they should write a book. It's not as hard as people think. People tend to procrastinate on writing a book, but if you set a date and you plan it out and you do the outline and you do this chapter by then and this chapter by this other time, in no time you have a book. And so definitely it doesn't have to be a complex process. And if there's a lot you want to write about, you can just produce different books, a volume one, a volume two. And so obviously it's something more people should look into. And so obviously I'm curious now, what advice would you give someone who is interested in doing what you're doing? They're listening to you and they're saying, I like digital marketing, I like the internet, and I want to get involved in all this. What would you say to an aspiring would-be digital marketing consultant?
I would say go for it and be prepared to learn a lot and to go the distance with it. So it's a long haul if you want to be great. It's a long haul if you want to be effective in digital marketing. There's a lot to learn. I think a lot of people get into it just thinking it has to do with creating graphics and posting things on social media. There's a lot more to it than that, obviously. There's a whole technology aspect behind it, and then there's business and marketing principles, and then there's understanding the platforms themselves. But I would definitely say go for it. Check out some free resources that are available to you online if you're looking for a low-cost way to get started and just getting your feet wet in education through Google's online certification programs. I would recommend that. You can get certified in Google Analytics, Google Ads. If social media is your jam, you can get certified in by Hootsuite. You can get even social media certifications by HubSpot. I think Facebook obviously has their Blueprint certification program. I think Hootsuite and Facebook, there's a fee to take the exam. HubSpot has free exams that you can take and get certified with. Definitely, if your college has digital marketing classes, take those. They can help you understand some of the basic fundamentals and some of the foundational stuff that you'll want to know and you'll need to know. The main thing, aside from all of that, is to get experience. Start with yourself. Dabble on your own dime. You're going to be more invested in it when you're spending your own money. And you'll learn faster and you'll learn better and you'll bring to the table something that you'll feel good about charging money for.
Well, thank you so much for that. And I think that's excellent advice. You got to be in it. You got to be committed. And obviously, it's digital marketing is very exciting in the beginning, but over time, when that excitement wears off, are you still going to stick with it, right? And you got to be in it for the long haul. And because there's a lot to learn, right? You know, I'm learning a lot from my conversation with you right now. You know, I didn't know that there were certifications that a digital marketing consultant or agency could have. And so that's a new thing that I learned among all the other new things I learned from you. And so, but you talked about the importance of experience. You want to get that experience, dabble in it, and build it from the ground up and whatnot. And you obviously not only do you have to learn a lot, but you have to continuously learn. You're never going to get to a point where you know everything, far from it, particularly with technology. So, again, thank you so much for that advice. I'm curious now, what advice would you give to someone who's looking for a business owner who's looking for, now you went over this before, I think in depth, but if there's anything you want to add to this, I mean, any advice you'd give to an entrepreneur who wants to work with a digital marketing consultant, how should they go about doing that?
So the first thing I always recommend is look in your own network, but that follows up with a caution, which is don't do business with somebody. A lot of people say you do business with people that you know, like, and trust, but knowing somebody, liking them, and trusting them doesn't mean that they're the best option or that they're qualified. So I would start with your network. Look and see who's available in your network. Meet with them. This could be it doesn't necessarily have to be somebody that you're connected with. It could be a recommendation that somebody in your network makes. So start there. I guess the secondary caution on that actually would be the person who's recommending somebody to you, make sure they know what makes a good professional in that industry. So a lot of times I'll ask for a recommendation for a service and everybody will just jump in. Like, you know, I don't know, you've probably seen it on like a Facebook group or something. I'm looking for, I don't know, an HVAC company to install a new heating system. And everybody will just chime in with somebody that they know of or somebody that they've used. So just because they're recommended, you still have to vet them, I guess is my point. So start in your network and then start doing Google searches or work with a consultant like me. I'll help you find the most appropriate professional for you. Somebody that knows what they're doing and help you vet them and make sure you understand all the questions that you need to ask. Aside from that, those are the only things that I would add to the things that I mentioned earlier, which are ask the right questions, look for industry certifications, look at case studies, review testimonials, things like this. Make sure that they're qualified before you spend all that money.
Excellent. And thank you so much for that additional advice. You know, it's interesting. You talked a lot about how people should look into their network first and see who people they know recommend. Obviously, being wary of working with, friends and close friends and family. Sometimes if something goes awry and if you have a business relationship with a family, sometimes that doesn't end well, right? And so we've all had that experience or we've witnessed that happen. So I think that's excellent advice. So people have to be careful in that regard. But even if you get a recommendation or even if it's someone you supposedly know, like, and trust, you still have to vet them. You have to Google them, see if they have good reviews, right? And the reviews have to be great. See if they have those industry certifications and, you know, see if they have those connections, right, that obviously you have and others who are great have as well. Again, thank you so much for that advice. And I'm curious now, just in general, what important life lessons do you have for folks, entrepreneurs and non-entrepreneurs, and that you've learned yourself or from others?
Keep going. That's it. Just keep putting one foot in front of the other, and eventually you'll arrive. When you want something bad enough, it's just a matter of time before you get there. You just got to keep going. For me, that's the most important life lesson that's carried me through. And that's probably why I've had the longevity in the industry that I've had, is because I understand that it's, you know, you have to be patient while you wait for success.
I love that. And patience is something that's, you know, it's like a muscle. You know, if you work on your patience, it gets stronger. And patience and perseverance go hand in hand. So I love that advice, the idea of you keep going, you put one foot in the other, you know, and there's so many success stories of people who got what they got, you know, achieved what they achieved through perseverance and never giving up. You know, like Colonel Sanders was told no hundreds, I think thousands of times before he got someone to sign on for his chicken recipe, and we all know what KFC is, right? So, yeah, there's so countless examples, I'm sure. And so there is something to be said about that, having that grit, you know, and that not quit attitude. You know, you have to sort of be like a Navy SEAL, you know, going through Hell Week, right? You have to, you know, so many actually quit while they're going through the training, but the few that make it, you know, achieve that status of being a Navy SEAL, and which is amazing and whatnot. And so I'm curious now, and thank you so much for sharing that important life lesson. Are there any book recommendations or author or guru recommendations you want to make for us?
Yeah. If you want to learn about digital marketing, follow some of the greatest people in the digital marketing industry. I follow most of them on Twitter, but they all have websites. They all have newsletters you can sign up to. I would follow people like Danny Sullivan, Neil Patel, Barry Schwartz. These are some of the original pioneers and founders of the industry, and some of the earliest and most successful people in digital marketing. And those are just some of them.
Thank you so much for that. Greatly appreciated. And I'm curious now, I gave you the question before if you were ever going to have your book at some point, and you said you would. And that leads to this question. Would you ever have your own podcast? I think you'd be great.
why do you think that?
Well, you're very knowledgeable, right? And you understand how marketing works, so you could perhaps do a great job marketing your podcast, I imagine. And it's free to start a podcast with the Anchor platform. Just want to throw that out there. It's not that hard at all. You can do an audio-only podcast, which is, you know, all you have to do is just have a conversation with someone like you do over the phone. But I think it would be great because, you know, it's interesting because I was doing a lot of reading on podcasting, and I think it was Seth Godin. I hope I'm saying his name right. He's the marketing guru who wrote Purple Cow. I'm sure you're familiar with him, right? He's bald-headed. So he said once that podcasting is like the new blogging and that everyone should have a podcast. So if he says it, that means it's true. And so there you go.
Well, I definitely don't disagree. And I'm sure all business owners know that there's a billion things that you can do, and all of them have some value to it. I think that I would enjoy it. I know that it's an important part of inbound and content marketing. And, yeah, I would definitely consider it. But, you know, people say know your weaknesses, and I know that, or I've been told, and I've observed that one of my weaknesses is if I talk for too long or if I'm speaking in the wrong medium, my voice can be kind of monotonous or monotone. And so that's something that I'm aware of. And I don't know how well it would go over on a podcast, or maybe a podcast is the right format for my style. I don't know. I think I would enjoy it.
Okay. Well, you know, here's the thing. I hear what you're saying, but there's different ways to do a podcast. You can do a podcast where you're interviewing people, where you have the guest do most of the talking, which saves you from, you know, getting to that point where you might get have that monotone. Or you could do short podcasts where you're only talking for, you know, 10, 15 minutes before you know, things get hazy, right?
Yeah, Neil Patel is a great podcast. The episodes are like 4 or 5 minutes long. But and I think if I did that with a co-host or if I did it in interview style, I think they could be good. But I know nobody wants to listen to me for an hour straight. So that would be the format that I would choose if I were to do it. And I would enjoy it, and I understand and appreciate the value of it. So if you twist my arm hard enough, who knows what could happen.
All right. Well, you know, obviously there's so much things to do, and a podcast is just an added task. So it's like, you know, when the time is right, perhaps you'll do it. You know, there's no rush, obviously. But if you did start your own podcast, you'd have one listener and me. So you have at least have one person in your audience. I just want to throw that out there to start. So,
all right.
I'll check it out. There you go. And you're a pretty strong guy, so I would never try to twist your arm. Just saying. I'm not willing to attempt that. But I want to just go ahead and just thank you for being a guest on the show. I think this is the first time we've actually spoken in quite a long time. We just kept in touch digitally or online and whatnot. So hopefully we speak more to each other more often in the future. I'm curious now, obviously this has been a great educational enlightening conversation. Do you want to go ahead and describe all the ways people can reach out and get in touch with you?
Sure. You can just go to best ways to go to anthonychurch.com. That's my website. It has links to all my social media profiles on it. Or if you want to go directly to LinkedIn, to linkedin.com/in/church. Twitter, I still have Webmarket Magnet from forever and a day ago, and I'm not going to change that one. But or facebook.com/TheAnthonyChurch or instagram.com/TheAnthonyChurch. Those are probably the best ways. If you go to anthonychurch.com, you can put your email address in and get on my mailing list, and I'll send you all kinds of good stuff periodically for your education and just letting you know what's up with me and what I'm up to in life and in the world of digital marketing.
Thank you so much for that. And just so you know that all the things that you just mentioned will be available in the show notes, so people will be able to see it and read it there, so we can, you know, easily connect with you. And I'm definitely going to get on that mailing list, just so you know. And I think I already follow you on all the social media platforms and whatnot, and because I think you're an excellent teacher. And so thank you so much for sharing that. Do you want to leave us with a final word or send off?
Yeah, sure. My final word for anybody that's interested, we talked a lot about, you know, how do you get started in digital marketing, and a lot of people will put off doing things because they don't know exactly where to start, and that will be what actually ends up stopping them. So if you've had any level of interest whatsoever in getting involved in digital marketing, feel free to reach out to me, and I will point you personally in the right direction based on your unique circumstance. I also offer internship programs for college students, and I will be releasing educational programs that are all online-based using the IRIS framework of learning, where you acquire the information through input, that's the I, you reflect on it, this is where real learning happens, you implement it, that's where it gets codified, and then you share that information. So that's the way that we're designed and built to learn. That's the framework that I'll be using for my classes. I think that it will be a great experience for people who are looking to not only learn the stuff. If you've been through online digital courses, you know that a lot of times you're just consuming information and you either never get through it or you get through it and you don't implement it. So I'll be working in reflection, implementation, and sharing aspects to all of my courses. So digital marketing is a great field. It's a great industry. I love it. I love what I do. It's something that you can do from anywhere in the world. And it's a career in an industry that you can be proud of, regardless of what your background is, regardless of what education you have, what degree you acquired, if you acquired a college degree at all. And I highly recommend it to anybody that's interested in pursuing that or developing a career. And for those that are just interested in learning and business owners that want to get a little bit more knowledge, the knowledge and the information is all out there. And if there's anything I can do to help you acquire it or point you in the right direction, please do reach out.
Thank you so much for that, Anthony. Greatly appreciated. And thank you so much for coming on as a guest. I want to you got it. I want to thank you folks in the audience. Thank you so much for listening. I'm going to see you guys in the next episode. Everyone, have a wonderful day.
Hey, guys, before you go, just real quick, if you can just do me a favor, if you can head over to the Apple Podcasts app, and if you're not there already, and if you can leave me a 5-star review, that would be great. If you love the show, if you can just go ahead and do that, and that will help to spread the word about the show, and other people can enjoy the show as much as you do. And so if you can do that, that would mean the world to me. And also, if you want to email me with any feedback or any praise or support, please feel free to go ahead and do that. And you can also email me to request to be put on our email list. We can send you out emails when new episodes come out. So thank you very much for being a fan of the show. Thank you for listening to the show and supporting the show. So if you can do that, go out and give us a 5-star review on the Apple Podcast app. That would be great. And if you can email us so we can put you on the email list and email us with feedback and praise, that would be amazing. Thank you so much, and I'll see you guys in the next episode. Take care. Bye-bye.